If you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to be looking at verses 7 to 9. And you'll recall last time Luke brought out the fact that the Lord empowered those 12 and sent them out on a mission. Now, we get a glimpse today of what's going on in the political world as that's happening. And you'll notice what we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 7. Now, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was happening. And he was greatly perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. Herod said, "I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?" And he kept trying to see him. Now, those are interesting verses. They're dropped right in the middle of the context of the disciples going out, the 12 apostles going out, and them returning. So then you get this, Luke wants to document what was going on in the political world. It's a fascinating text, and may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of it and study later. Will you join with me, please, in prayer? Our Father, we bow before thee today to thank you for being the only God, our only God, and being our personal God. We certainly want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. In view of this passage, we pray that no one in this church would ever make the mistake that Herod made. We pray that all here would believe in him and cultivate a personal relationship with him. Lord, we pray that every person who ever steps foot in this fellowship will be brought by the Spirit of God to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we know most here do believe in him. And we thank you for this church and for the people who are part of it. And we have a variety of needs in connection with this flock. Some are in need of thy physical help. Some are in need of emotional help. Some in need of financial help. Some spiritual help. All of us here today are in need of more wisdom and knowledge and growth. So we pray that you would grant that according to your grace. Lord, when we read a passage of scripture like this, we cannot help but pray for our country and our leaders. We pray that you would give our president and his team wisdom to resolve and lead this nation in ways that will enable you to bless us. We thank you that we are a country that supports Israel. We thank you that we have a good majority of leaders who stand against things like abortion. We pray that you would lead the majority into ways of righteousness. We've enjoyed wonderful blessings in this nation. And frankly, Lord, we sense we're on the verge of some of these things slipping away. So we ask for your sovereign intervention and help. We pray that you would work in the minds and hearts of those that have been given responsibilities. We see from this very text that political leaders who are very religious can still be very corrupt, and they can promote that which is evil. And we know from this book of Luke that it was political leadership who actually killed Jesus Christ. So we pray, in love of our country, that you would sovereignly turn minds and hearts of our political leaders, the vast majority of them, so that they may govern this nation in a way that you can bless. We pray that you would come get us soon. We pray for the rapture of the church, but we pray that when you do come get us, you will find us pleasing to you, unashamed before you. Use services like this to help accomplish that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to see many paranoid people, look at those who are working for a company that's just been sold. If you've ever gone through the experience, you personally know what I'm talking about. First, there's the rumors that fly through the air that the company is being sold. Second, there's speculation as whether or not things are going to stay the same. There's a wonder among the people whether their jobs are secure, if they can keep them. And new people begin to show up, and there's concern about that. What you really have when you first learn a company's been sold is constant paranoia. If you can relate to that or understand that, then you can begin to understand Herod. Herod was the top gun of Galilee and Perea for over 30 years at the time that Jesus Christ arrived on the scene. He took office in 4 BC. Now you're somewhere around 30 BC, somewhere near that date. But now all of a sudden, there's a new person who's shown up, who's gaining tremendous reputation and a tremendous following. Jesus Christ was changing the world, changing his world. And now he sent out 12 of his own apostles, and they're telling everybody about Jesus Christ, and they're backing up their messages by healing people and casting out demons. Herod was never in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He had lots of questions about Christ, but very few answers. All he knew is that Jesus Christ was a person who was getting top billing in his territory and his kingdom. Jesus Christ was becoming, as one commentator said, a celebrity who was gaining great fame in his territory. And he was paranoid, he was intimidated, he was threatened, angry, and frustrated. I think the saddest thing of all about this is that Herod never did truly find out who Jesus Christ was. He lived his entire life without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. He spent his entire political career in constant paranoia, and now he's spending eternity burning forever in hell. That's the way it is for people that don't come to terms with Jesus Christ. They spend a lot of their life in havoc. They're confused, they're threatened, they're paranoid, they're proud, then they die. And then they end up burning in hell. Herod is a prototype of a politician who was never really interested in the truth of God, and what is described in these verses, frankly, is tragic. Here was a man who literally had every opportunity to literally come to terms with Jesus Christ, and he didn't do it. And as a result of that, he burns forever now in an eternity of condemnation. Millions of people are going to end up with the same story. Millions of people will have had opportunities to come to terms with Jesus Christ, and they won't do it. And they'll end up with the same destiny, burning forever, because of their rejection of the Savior. What we see when we look at these verses is no matter who a person is, no matter how important a person is, unless that person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, he will spend, she will spend this life in great perplexity and spend all eternity burning in hell. This passage proves to us that a person could be a very successful politician and end up in an eternal disaster. Most are. Most frankly are. This text proves that a person could be very successful on his job, be totally miserable. A person could be very smart academically in a classroom and yet have a very confused brain. A person could be very successful in his or her accomplishments and yet be very lonely and empty. A person could be a person who has everything the world has to offer and end up in hell. That's the story of Herod. Herod was a man who had position, he had power, he had prestige, possessions, he had political clout. He had all of that. The one thing he couldn't get was peace of mind and heart. His life is a case study of a paranoid eternal loser. He had every opportunity to come to terms with Christ, never did. And Herod says to everybody, you know, you can be a very religious person. You can have a lot of exposure to religious stuff. You can go to all kinds of religious gatherings as be as lost as you possibly can be. There will be, in eternity, many people who went to a lot of church services who will end up in hell. That's Herod. Now, there are four key facts that Dr. Luke brings out that we want to show you from the text. First of all, Herod was powerful. Notice verse 7, how it begins. Now, Herod the Tetrarch. That's how Luke introduces him. He's the Tetrarch. So what we learn is he's a powerful ruler. And that word would indicate he's ruling over a quarter of this part of the Roman world. He was a very powerful political figure. In fact, sometimes he's referred to as king. He could actually, according to Matthew, command that a man be executed as a king, and it would be immediately carried out. That's what happened to John. Even Pontius Pilate recognized the authority and power of Herod. I mean, he realized the tremendous political clout that he had. But in spite of all of his power and in spite of all of his prestige, he still could not solve the great riddle of his soul. He couldn't find contentment. He could not find peace of mind because he personally did not know Jesus Christ. And now you have these 12 apostles that are out preaching a kingdom gospel, and they're preaching it when the king is present, and that becomes a real threat to him. Hey, what is this about a king and a kingdom gospel? There are many powerful people in this world who do not know Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of religious politicians. But when you listen to what they stand for and what they promote, you know they don't know Jesus Christ. If they can support the killing of babies and not bat an eye, if they can turn their heads and stand against Israel, if they can promote things that God hates, you know, well, they may be religious, but they don't know Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how powerful or religious or how important the world says they are. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, peace and contentment will be lacking, the person will be miserable, and they're going to end up burning. Back when I was in school, there was a man who came to school. He owned a very lucrative grocery store business. He had started his own chain of stores up north of Grand Rapids. He was highly esteemed in the community in which he lived. At one of our chapel services, he stood up and gave his testimony. And it was interesting to listen to because he said, "I was absolutely miserable until I came to faith in Christ." He said, "Once I came to faith in Christ, my whole life changed. I had a bounce in my step. The peace and joy I've been looking for, I found." And that guy eventually sold his businesses, went to school, and stood before all of us and said, "I've never been happier in all my life." What a testimony. He's a successful, esteemed, powerful person, yet he's miserable until he came to terms with Jesus Christ. See, that's exactly the problem with Herod. He never did come to terms with Jesus Christ. You can have money and power and position, but that can't bring you peace of mind. That can't bring you forgiveness of sins. That cannot possibly bring you happiness in your soul. The truth is, that's only found in Jesus Christ. Herod will end up with nothing. But boy, he was powerful when he was here. Secondly, he was knowledgeable. Verse 7 says, he heard of all that was happening. Boy, he had great knowledge of what was going on in the world of Jesus Christ. And we know probably one reason why. Remember, we saw back in chapter 8, there was a woman named Joanna who was the wife of Chuza. And Chuza was one of his own managers who worked for Herod. And probably he was getting daily reports as often as possible coming from the wife of Chuza through Chuza to him. He's hearing a lot of stuff about Jesus Christ. In fact, the text says, if you look carefully, he heard of all that was happening. He was getting these reports about Jesus Christ. He was hearing things that people were saying. He probably heard that Jesus Christ could actually talk to a fever and a fever would obey him. He probably heard that Jesus Christ commands demons to do whatever he wants them to do. He probably heard that he's healing all kinds of diseases. I mean, and he heals them forever. They don't even have to go back for a follow-up checkup. He'd heard about the fact that he could speak to storms. This guy can actually talk to the weather, and the weather obeys him. He'd certainly heard about the fact that, you know, there are these people paralyzed. They haven't been able to walk ever in their life, and he walks up to them, and he gets them up, and they walk away. And I'm sure he heard that this is the one who stopped a funeral, can actually bring somebody who's dead back to life. Herod was hearing all that. He was a religious guy. He was a Jewish man who worked for Rome. And probably he had some type of interest in messianic things. I'm not sure how deep he was because he doesn't have any spiritual reality. But what this tells us is Hearing about Jesus Christ and having knowledge about Jesus Christ and being religious is not the same as believing in him and having him in your life as your personal Savior. Herod's problem was not one of ignorance, it was one of unbelief. He had all kinds of knowledge. He'd heard all the stories about Jesus Christ, but he refused to believe in him. The truth is, that's the reality of most of humanity. I mean, most people today have heard something about Jesus Christ. They live in this world, but they don't believe in him as their personal Savior. Most people today have been exposed to the Bible, probably have one in their home or in their parents' home or grandparents' home. So they know there's a Bible. But the vast majority of people don't have a personal relationship with Christ and go to work on understanding it. We could actually have potentially Herod types in every service. I mean, there are religious people who have plenty of knowledge about Christ. They could tell you the Christmas story. They could tell you the Easter story, but that doesn't mean they really know Christ as Savior, invited him into their lives. Most of Israel has great knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you go to Israel, they'll give you tours and show you places where Christ lived and walked. But they don't have a personal relationship with him. Don't you make that mistake of equating the knowledge that you have about Christ with saving faith that actually has Christ in your life. That's the kind of relationship Herod had with Christ, knowledge about him. Thirdly, he was perplexed. Verse 7 says, "And he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again." Herod was, verse 7, greatly perplexed by what he was hearing. That word is an interesting Greek word. He just didn't know what to think. That's the word that's used here, a diaporeo. He didn't know what to think. He was, as one writer said, stuck in his mind. He's trying to sort all of this out in his mind. He couldn't figure out what to do with all this stuff that he's hearing about Jesus Christ. He didn't know how to explain things. He didn't know what to say, think, or believe. Now, he wants to know things about Jesus Christ, but his motivation is not true. As we'll even see later in this book, he wants to know things about Jesus Christ. Number one, because he's curious. He wants to know things about Jesus Christ because he's paranoid. And he wants to know Jesus Christ because, frankly, he hates him, which will be proven later in this very Gospel of Luke. And to further add to Herod's confusion, you have these theories that are floating around, three of them. Some were saying, you know, this is John. This is John. Now, Herod initially believed that, according to Mark. Maybe this is John who came back from the dead. John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He clearly testified who Jesus Christ was. He was the Lamb who could take away the sins of the world. John made it very clear that he was not the Messiah. He made it very clear Jesus is the Messiah. Those rumors that Jesus was John originally were started by religious leaders. They knew full well John was not Jesus, but they did not want to admit the truth about who he actually was. Apparently, some of the leaders were trying to cover up John's testimony. So they spread a rumor that Jesus is John. Well, Herod was the one who actually executed John by beheading him. He didn't like John. John was the guy who confronted Herod about the fact that he stole his wife's brother. And you'll remember that his daughter danced for him one night, and he said, "I'll give you whatever you want." She said, "Bring me the head of John." So he killed him. He had him beheaded. And apparently, one of the rumors that was floating around is this: John's come back from the dead, and now he's going around the country performing these miracles. And Herod thought, well, maybe it's John. Maybe this is true. I mean, people make up bizarre things about Jesus Christ, even though what they say and believe is contrary to the Word of God, they still make up stuff. The Mormons do it. The Mormons make up stuff about Jesus Christ like he's the spirit brother of Satan. Or he's a god like we all can become a god. They say you must work real hard to go to heaven. After that, you can trust in the mercy of God. They just make it up. That's what Herod did. And Herod ends up in hell. The second theory is maybe he's Elijah. Elijah was a prophet that the Jews anticipated and still do anticipate will come just prior to the Messiah setting up his kingdom. The Jews base this belief on the fact that Elijah was taken up by God into heaven, and there are certain passages of Scripture that imply Elijah will be connected to the coming Messiah setting up the kingdom for Israel. And I do want you to go back to Malachi chapter 4. If you would, please just back up in your Bibles a few pages to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And I'd like you to go to chapter 4, if you would. And the way the Old Testament actually signs off, the last two verses of Malachi say this: "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." I want you to carefully observe what Malachi says. Malachi says that this Elijah will come prior to the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, that was at this point. The Jews wanted it to be this time. I mean, they did not want to hear a message that said, you need to repent of your sin because you don't have the righteousness necessary to get you into that kingdom. They did not want to hear that. They wanted to hear, our Messiah is going to come back, give us our kingdom, wipe out all our enemies. And Elijah was promised to come prior to him doing that. They did not want to hear about their own sin and their need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So some of them said, well, maybe this is Elijah. Now that would discredit Christ, because he obviously is not pouring out his wrath on Israel's enemies. He's telling Israel, you have a sin problem. And before you can even get this kingdom, you've got to deal with the sin problem. I'm the one who can give you the righteousness to go into that kingdom, and they reject him. Look, a person can make Jesus Christ out to be whatever you want him to be. The sky's the limit on what you can think about Jesus Christ, but unless you come to terms with who he claims he is, the God, Savior, Messiah, King, proved by that resurrection and everything else he did and said, they'll end up burning in hell. That's not theory, that's biblical fact. A third theory that floated around is he's some kind of prophet. This is what the Muslims believe. That's who they say Jesus was. He was a prophet. It's not as good as Muhammad, but he was a prophet. They don't deny he existed, but they say he was a prophet. So this was another theory that he'd come back from the dead, one of the great prophets. And one of the theories, according to Matthew, was this is Jeremiah. But regardless of any theory, all of them required a miraculous resurrection and reappearance of somebody in a body. All of these theories require that you reject the truth, which even the demons knew. I mean, even the demons are saying, this is the Holy One of God here. This is the Holy One of God who is God. He can do whatever he wants with us. They knew that. But the Jews, a guy like Herod, would rather make up their own stories rather than accept the truth of God. And of course, that would be worth our time to pause right here and say, how about you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he really your Savior? Personally living in you? Herod was confused. He just was confused of all of this. He didn't know what to believe. Totally baffled by what he was hearing. He was totally perplexed. And verse 9 says he put to rest one of the arguments. He says in verse 9, look, I myself beheaded John, so who is this man? Who is this man that I hear these kinds of things about? Who is this guy? And Herod uses a masculine person to say, I'm hearing so much about this masculine guy. Who is this guy? You and I live in a Herod-type world. We're living in a world that's theologically very confused about what people have to do to go to heaven. We're certainly living in a world that's very confused about what people believe about Jesus Christ. Some say he's a good man. Some say he was a good teacher. Some say he's a good example. Some say he was a spirit being like an angel. Some say he was like a Robin Hood who went around and just did good stuff. In 2015, the Barna Research Group conducted a survey as to what most Americans believe about Jesus Christ. Most Americans do admit he was a real person. The younger Americans don't necessarily believe he was God. America is divided over whether or not Jesus Christ was sinless. And Americans are conflicted as to whether or not their good works can take them to heaven, or whether or not Jesus Christ is the only way there. The Barna research concluded, people in America are just very perplexed about who Christ is. So we haven't really removed ourselves too far from this. The Bible says he's God. The Bible says he's Israel's Messiah. The Bible says he's the only Savior, the Lamb, who can take away the sins of the world and take away the sins of everyone. Things have not changed much since Herod's day. Many people want to be their own king, king of their own lives, rather than to submit to the real God king. So Herod was perplexed. But the third fact that Luke brings out is Herod wanted to see Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9. Who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. Now, Herod didn't believe in Christ, but boy, he sure wanted to see him. For two reasons. First of all, he was curious. Curious about Christ. Who wouldn't be curious about seeing Christ? I am, actually. Can you imagine what it'll be like to get that first glimpse of him? When we leave this world and, as it were, step into that next room? When we get our first glimpse of Jesus Christ? I mean, I'm curious to take a look at that. Who isn't curious about seeing Christ? But there's a major difference between being curious about Christ and having a relationship with him. He wanted to see Jesus Christ not as a sincere, honest seeker of salvation. He wanted to see Jesus Christ as some form of entertainment. I'd like to get a look at that guy. The second reason he wanted to see Christ is he wanted to kill him. Go over to chapter 13 of Luke. Look at verse 31. Luke records this later. Luke 13:31. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached, saying to him, go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I will reach my goal. You see, ladies and gentlemen, deep in the heart of Herod was a paranoia that wanted Jesus Christ dead. His motivation for wanting to see Christ was not pure and true. And by the way, Herod will finally get his opportunity to see Christ. Flip over to chapter 23, verse 8. This is the morning of Christ's execution. In chapter 23, verse 8, we read, now Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he'd been hearing about him, and he was hoping to see some signs performed by him. He got to see him the morning of his execution. But when he did get the opportunity to see him the morning of his execution, his real colors came out. Because he not only rejected him, he ends up mocking him and letting him be beaten. Herod was exposed to so much information about Jesus Christ. He had access to so much truth. And yet, he ends up, according to Acts, a person who's named as being responsible for the execution of Jesus Christ. Now, it is a fact of history that Jesus Christ was a real person. He did really live here in history. You can't deny that. Even secular historians say Jesus Christ was a real person. Josephus, who lived back at that time, testified of that. Suetonius testifies of that. Pliny testifies of that. Trajan testifies of that. Those are extra-biblical statements and testimonies in history that Jesus Christ was a fact of history. Even Jewish rabbis admit Jesus Christ was real and really here. But Jesus Christ did not come into this world just to be a reality of history. He came into this world to be the savior of your sinful soul. He didn't leave the splendor and glory of heaven to come here to this earth because he wanted to have a good time, because there was no good time here for him. And if you haven't believed in him, and if you haven't invited him into your life to be your savior, then I suggest to you, you have every right to be paranoid. And you ought to be paranoid. Because you don't know the moment you're going to be called into eternity and face him. In verse 9, Herod asked a most critical question of life. It's the most critical question you can ever ask yourself. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he to you? Now, Christianity is not like other religions. See, other religions are based on the teachings of somebody. For example, Mormonism is based on the teachings of Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. Buddhism is based on the teachings of Buddha. The Muslim religion, Islam, is based on the teachings of Muhammad. Christianity isn't based on the teachings of Christ, it's based on the person of Christ. Christianity says you must have a personal relationship with him. Not just listen and like his teachings. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the God, Savior, Messiah, King. You believe on him and you will have everlasting life. If you don't, you will end up like Herod, burning forever. May we pray. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I would not go one more second without inviting him into your life right where you sit to be your personal Savior. Just admit the truth. You're a sinner, we're all sinners. And invite Christ into your life to save you from your sins and save your soul. Our Father, we thank you for the inspired word of God. We thank you for this unique passage of Scripture. It's a sober text because we realize that one could be world-renowned, one could be one of the great political leaders of the world and still be as lost as can be, destined for hell. I pray that would never be true of anyone connected to this fellowship. I pray that all would come to terms with Jesus Christ in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.